So as I said, we read this same passage last week. And in our concluding moments here this morning, I want to actually reflect only on verse 3, which says, explaining and proving that the Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead. This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Christ, he said. Whether it is Bangkok or Boston, people need to hear the gospel. And as I said last week, this term explaining really means to lay out logically, step upon step, precept upon precept, just laying it out there, putting it in a row, organizing it, structuring it. Proving means to set it forth, to put it out there as evidence. In a way, Paul is presenting the gospel as an attorney would present his case. Here is the case, step by step. Here is the evidence, step by step. And what he says is that the case for the gospel and the evidence for the gospel is that Jesus had to suffer and rise from the dead. And as we look at this passage, that's what we want to focus on today. Those two thoughts, Jesus had to suffer and Jesus had to rise from the dead. First, Jesus had to suffer. What does that mean? It was necessary for Christ to endure the cross. Luke 9:22, he said, Jesus said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. He must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." This gospel that Paul is giving was first spoken by Jesus. On his way to Jerusalem, he goes to the disciples and says, "This is what has to happen. I have to go and I have to suffer. I have to be brought before the religious leaders of that day. I have to be killed, and then I will rise." Jesus had to suffer many things. Jesus himself said, "The Son of Man will suffer many things." Jesus endured all the pain relating to sin. He endured relational suffering. In a couple of weeks, we're going to look at the Easter Passion narrative, the crucifixion, where all his disciples abandon him, where one betrays him, another denies him, and all but John, perhaps, just take off. Can you imagine the pain that that involves? The suffering. You spend 3 years with men building them up, building relationship, and when your time of need comes, they walk away. He endured emotional suffering. We were in a Bible study earlier this week, Wednesday night, and we were talking about the Garden of Gethsemane and how deep sorrow overwhelmed Jesus. In thinking of what was to come, a deep sorrow. A sorrow we probably can never imagine or will ever experience. Jesus suffered for us. And certainly the cross had physical suffering. We need not go into detail about that. Rent the Passion of the Christ, and you can see all the physical suffering that Jesus endured. Actually, you can't even see. It's a 2-hour movie that represents a 12-hour experience. So we can't even fathom the pain physically. But suffering was the only way the price of sin could be paid. Sin has a price to be paid. And that price is death. And that death afforded us, paid for, our ransom. Sin has to be paid for. Now, there is a verse that people like to quote, Romans 4:8. Blessed is the one whose sins the Lord will never count against them. Comes from the Psalm 32, verse 2. Blessed is the one whose sins the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. And we often think, won't it be great that when Jesus forgives us, our sins are no longer counted against us? I was talking to my wife Janine earlier this week, and we were talking about accounting, because Janine is an accountant by education and profession. She loves numbers and loves math, loves accounting. And the fact is that in accounting, there is no deleting. It has to show up somewhere. And what we typically think is in Romans 4:8, our sins have been erased. They're no longer counted against us. And while that is true, they are no longer counted against us. They have to be counted against someone. And what Jesus is saying is, blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will ever count against himself. That the suffering is for our sin because someone has to pay. And it was necessary for Jesus to suffer so that our sins could be paid for. Otherwise, we would still be in our sin and responsible for our disobedience. Jesus had to suffer for us. Jesus had to rise from the dead. Second point of two. Jesus had to rise from the dead. It was necessary for Jesus to inhabit the grave. Hebrews 9:22. The law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Without death, without something dying, there is no forgiveness of sin. God's wrath is only satisfied through a fatal sacrifice. I don't have time to explain it fully. Ask me some other time other than this morning, and I will gladly go into detail. We all know the Ark of the Covenant. We've seen the Indiana Jones movie. The Ark. On the top of the Ark, there are two angels facing apart from one another, wings touching. I don't know if that's really what it looks like. That's every single picture I've ever seen, what it looks like. It's called the mercy seat. Literally what it's called, because there is no English word for it. I'm not even sure there's anything other than a Hebrew word for it. It's called the kofar. The kofar is mercy seat. It is the place that covers. It's the cover. It's the covering. But it's not the cover for the ark. It's the covering for our sin. Because that's where the blood of the sacrifice was poured. And then God's wrath somehow would come and obliterate that sacrifice. That, much like when Elijah and the prophets of Baal, and God sends down lightning and blows up everything. The sacrifice, the wood was gone, the stones were gone, there was a hole in the ground, there was nothing left. That's what happens. We put our sin on the mercy seat. Christ puts his blood, his life force, his blood on the mercy seat. God's wrath comes down, boom, and exhausts, obliterates, removes, covers it all. Jesus had to rise from the dead. In order to rise from the dead, he had to be dead. And the reason why he took upon death was to pay the penalty for our sin. Rising from the grave is the only way that we would know that the penalty for sin was proven settled. Another accounting term. How do you settle a debt? Here's the debt, and here is the payment. Well, we know that through Christ's suffering, the payment's been made. But they both have to be reconciled. They both have to be valued. They have to be placed on the books. How do we know that Christ's sacrifice was put on the books? Is by his rising from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus proves that his sacrifice was sufficient. Acts 26:23. Toward the end of the book of Acts, in one of his last defenses, Paul says, the Messiah would suffer, and as the first to rise from the dead, would bring the message of light to his own people and to the Gentiles. He had to rise to fulfill the promise of resurrection, to be the first of many, the first fruit of many, but also to realize the promise of illumination, that bringing the truth to the nations. If Jesus is not raised, how would we know that the sacrifice was sufficient? But in fact, Jesus is raised. We'll celebrate that in 4 weeks, 28 days, as the first fruits of our resurrection, as a sign and a symbol of the truth of God. Jesus had to rise, otherwise our sin would continue to separate us from the presence of God. Our sermon in a sentence is this, simple. Jesus had to die so that we can live. It's as simple as that. Paul's whole ministry in Thessalonica and in other places is the same as Jesus' message. The Son of Man must suffer many things, be killed, and he will rise on the third day. We cannot pay the price for sin ourselves. We cannot. We cannot pacify the penalty for sin ourselves. We cannot. We are dead in our sins, needing a Savior. We need someone who will suffer and rise from the dead for us. And we can all praise God for the obedience of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, because he is that Messiah. This Jesus that we proclaim to you, he is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the promised one. He is the one who will ransom you from your sins. Jesus, the one who saves. Emmanuel, God with us. The Messiah. Jesus had to die so that we can live. Shall we pray?